I was just thinking, we just officially celebrated Veterans Day. Used to be called Armistice Day, but founded in soon after World War II, and a way to honor those individuals who have fought for the freedom around the world. And I was thinking, pondering that whole concept, the last 2 weeks we've talked about spiritual warfare, the necessity of it. In fact, whether you like it or not, we're involved in spiritual warfare. The kingdom of darkness has made sure that this world is in turmoil all of the time, someplace, and it seems to be spreading. But God is bigger than that. And so if you think about it, as believers, we truly are veterans, aren't we? And so I was thinking, as far as the remembering, I think it's important to remember those individuals that have gone before us that have been involved in the war against the kingdom of darkness, not based on their own resources, but rather revealing the resources of heaven. That's what's really effective. You and I, our efforts are pretty minimal, but if they're empowered by the presence of God, we see an incredible change that takes place. I think that the American church in many ways has kind of tried to fight the battle against the kingdom of darkness with personal or almost soulish resources rather than the true resources of the kingdom of heaven. We see real effectiveness when it's led by God. If you see the children of Israel as they came out of the desert experience and begin to come into the promised land, we see the incredible effectiveness of God leading them, orchestrating what was going to take place, their obedience. They saw great fruit as a result of that. We also see that when they chose not to follow God, that it brought destruction. And so I think that if we look at, this is not a negative as far as the church is concerned. I'm just concerned about the corporate church of America and the Western world in its pursuit of actually soulish kinds of endeavors to try kingdom, and it's not been very effective. My wife and I would always say, God is so efficient. And my wife would say, he's so lavish. And she's right, and so am I. God really is very efficient. And as I, growing up, I grew up in a family that everything had to be efficient. And then I went to college, to business school, and I learned how to be even more efficient, extracting maximum benefit from the little effort necessary in order to try and grow things. And as I look at the kingdom of God, God really wants an efficiency. He desires productivity. In fact, John, the book of John, talks about being connected to the vine, Jesus, so that we become productive, that we bear much fruit. And so the kingdom of God is about bearing fruit, among other things. It's productivity. It's the abundance of the kingdom. And so we want to be reminded that God has an intent to produce the fruit of the kingdom by his power and authority to change this world. And so as I was pondering Veterans Day, thinking, actually, we're all veterans. We're in the midst of the battle in various ways. And as you look at the United States and at the celebration of Veterans Day, it's for those individuals who fought for the freedom around the world, the freedom from tyranny, the control of individuals that have tried to destroy this world, dictators and those kinds of things. Today I want to reflect on what have you and I been fighting for? Because what you fight for, you will get. Okay? What you persevere, what you look for, what you seek, you will find. Now, Jesus talks about seeking and finding. And that's what we're going to look at today in the context of spiritual warfare and in the necessity of, I want to encourage you today to really focus in on seeking Father, seeking Jesus, seeking the Spirit of God, in order for real transformation to take place in our lives. We are to seek, and in seeking, we will find. And so whatever you seek, you will eventually find. And so as we reflect on our lives as believers, the question comes, so it's time for a bit of self-evaluation. What have you been finding? A lot of times people say, well, I'm seeking the Lord. Are you finding him? Again, remember, there's no condemnation, but if we are not challenged by the Word of God, then we tend not to grow like we need to grow. And so my desire today is to challenge each of us, including myself. Remember, when I tell you that I'm not preaching for you, I'm preaching for myself typically, and I'm allowing you to set in on it, okay? It is true. Yeah, but remember, we're not in this family to pick on each other. That's a dysfunctional relationship. But we are here to encourage each other, and it's important to reflect on what God is speaking to us in order to bring about the change necessary. Why? Because Jesus came preaching a gospel of repentance. Repent, the kingdom is at hand. What he is saying there, and he says it over and over and over again. You know, repetition is very important. Why? Because it means that we sometimes struggle to get it. And so repetition helps us get it. And so Jesus continued to teach about the need to repent, which means what? To change our minds. Well, the changing of the mind is to basically let go of the lies that the enemy has placed upon us and embrace the truth. The truth sets us free, and then in that we take hold of the kingdom of God. That's the methodology of receiving the kingdom. But we have to, first of all, change the way we think. And I like to say that repentance really means to agree with God. Why? Because we were born into dysfunctional families. Remember, all of you, all of us came from screwed up families. Yes? Yes. Every one of us. Okay? And that means that we had the seeds of the kingdom of darkness sown into us at a very early stage in many ways. Now, I'm not here to condemn our families. I'm just saying that's the truth. We all have elements of dysfunction from our family of origin and from the things that have happened to us. And so the kingdom now comes, and Jesus says it's time to come into the family of God, to come into a functional family, and let go of the lies that you've believed. Now, we don't even know what we believe at times. We just live it out. But we can look at the fruit of that, and we can say, oh, there's some problems here. There's some things that need to change the way we think. Because every action, and I've gone over this numerous times, you probably, you know, I have basically the same message, just a different way of coming at it from different ways. John Marquez, who wrote The Ultimate Journey called Christ Life, which is an inner healing journey, we asked him, so, because he was a former priest that came out of Catholicism and then entered into just an incredible journey with God and actually developed a inner healing program. But we asked him about, you know, the important things. How do you pastor a church? He said, well, my message would be fairly simple. We need to agree with God and get on with him. He said, I'd keep saying that over and over again in different ways, and eventually they'd get it, okay? If they didn't get it, they'd have to stay and listen to it, or then they would actually then take that message to their relationships. And so that was his encouragement, is that we need to embrace the truth of God and then get on with it. And so today I hopefully am encouraging you to actually seek Jesus and embrace his truth so you can get on with his kingdom and what he wants to do. So in John 4, verses 23 through 24, let's take a look at this. Jesus says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And so we see What is Father seeking in our lives? He is seeking those who acknowledge who he is, true worshipers. We do worship in the form of music as a way to facilitate the presence of God. We encounter God in worship. There are many ways. Our lives are actually supposed to be an act of worship back to God. Everything about us is to be expressed as a form of worship to God. Ultimately, that's what God is looking for. But he is seeking us, and he desires us to come into agreement with him. And we worship him out of both spirit and in truth. He's looking for us, and he has given everything to us necessary in order for us to come into his kingdom. Now, if you look at the world around us, people are seeking many different things. Most people are seeking some sort of financial freedom, maybe a retirement, a successful career, the ultimate soulmate, inner healing, happiness, a good job, peace of mind, the perfect golf game with a hole in one, conquering Mount Everest. Maybe they want to be famous, or finding the true meaning of life. If you look at the world around, you see that people are seeking something. And they are finding it in many ways. But the question for you and I today is, what are we seeking? Who are we seeking? And we can tell by reflecting on our lives. Now, I've also found that if you can't see it, then you ask a good friend, someone who loves you, okay? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, okay? Because sometimes you and I are blind to what's really going on in our lives. You know, we can be blind. We need outside intervention. And so it's important then, if we don't see it, to ask someone else who genuinely loves us to help us reflect on what they see going on in our lives. The body of Christ is a very powerful part of the kingdom. Why? Because it's in that place that we can see where we're moving or where we're not moving in the kingdom of God. Yeah. And so it's important to be a part of the body of Christ, because it's a place where we can receive not only the love and affirmation that we need, the facilitation and encouragement of the work of the Spirit in our lives, and in that we also have the opportunity for others to reflect upon our lives based out of love and encouragement, a desire to see those places where we may have blind spots within us. Okay, Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And that's what you and I are here for today, is to be reminded of the fact that God has said we must seek him. And if we seek him, we will find him. Okay, today I want to encourage you to seek the one and only true God and his kingdom, to fight against the distractions and the false gods, and pursue the presence of God. Remember, we're not pursuing in an intellectual way God. Now, there's nothing wrong with us understanding or having a revelation in an intellectual way. God wants all of us, but he wants more than just our mind, an agreement. The book of James addresses a very powerful issue, and they say, you know, James, the brother of Jesus who wrote James, says, you know, oh, you say that you believe God. Good. The demons believe in God and tremble. And so this intellectual assent that we have basically said this is all you really need, you're on the same level as a demon with that. That's not a really good measure, okay? They're well aware of the existence of God, and for us as humans to say, oh yeah, I believe in God, but that's all it is? You're on the same level, in the same category, in the same situation as the demonic. And so God has more for us than just an intellectual assent that he exists, but rather we are to experience him relationally, a powerful encounter. That's one of the things that we want to cultivate in that time between worship and the teaching is we want to help you cultivate and a sensitivity to the powerful presence of God that it might encourage you to continue to pursue Him. Pursue Him. Because if you pursue Him, you will find Him. Okay? You will find Him. So, I think that deep inside all of us were created by God to be God's seekers. From the ancient times where there were idols made of wood and stone, excuse me, to today's self-worship, we are all God's seekers. And so, God has presented Himself to us. He has made Himself known to us, and He's inviting us to continue in the pursuit of the relationship. As you and I continue to cultivate within ourselves to seek God, to pursue Him, we will find Him at a deeper and more powerful level than where we're at. It's important to know that you and I will never arrive on this side of heaven, but there is always more that God has for us in His relationship with Him. Do not be satisfied with where you're at, but rather be encouraged that God has even more for you and for me to experience in His kingdom. Be encouraged. Why not experience it all on this side and receive the benefit of it and then give it away for the benefit of other people around you? That's a wonderful opportunity. You know, I want you and I to fulfill the destiny that God had declared over our lives before we were born. Think about that. You were not created just to suck air. God has something far greater than that. And it isn't to wallow in the lies of the enemy and to have our lives messed up and trashed. It's to live in the powerful presence of God and come out of that to be literally resurrected with Him as a new creation and live out of the power and the authority of the kingdom within our lives. In that, there is an incredible destiny to be fulfilled. And so, my prayer is that each one of us realize, experience the destiny that God has declared over our lives. And in that, then, we then reach the point of where we have fulfilled what God called us to. I think that's a beautiful thing. The other thing, and we've talked about this before, is that you and I have the capacity to leave a legacy for the next generations. I'm not just talking about your own physical offspring, although that is very powerful and important. But rather, you belong to the family of God. That means that you have a much bigger family than just the biological one. And God fully intends for you to be a blessing to the family at large. And so there is a legacy to be left, not only with your own family physically, but also a spiritual legacy to be left with the body of Christ, for the benefit of all. You know, I've shared this before with you, but my wife and I have always prayed that for our own physical children, that our ceiling in our relationship or our destiny with God would become the floor for the next generation. In other words, you and I have a responsibility to maximize what God has done in our lives so that we might leave a place, a launching place for the next generation in the kingdom. That is an incredible privilege. That is something that God has determined He wants to do in our lives. That is a beautiful thing, to leave a legacy for the next generation that they might go longer and farther in the kingdom than you and I could have gotten, okay? Wow, that's huge. and we underestimate it. We're so busy living in our own little worlds, distracted, that we don't have the big picture. God gives us the big picture, and that it's beautiful, and it's massive, and that's what he wants to see take place within our lives. Okay? So, we need to be seeking him, because in that we will find him, and then what will be revealed will be our destiny, and we will live out of that. Now, the enemy provides a lot of distractions. You know, I talked earlier about all the things that the world seeks, but you know, we have to be careful within the body of Christ. Sometimes we are not really seeking God, but we may be seeking traditions, or programs, or solutions to our problems. Sometimes churches get involved in a lot of social and political kinds of agendas. We can even be pursuing signs and wonders, or the confirmation of our beliefs. You know, and I've talked about this before, I don't know if you've noticed it, but Christians have a real struggle with needing to be right all the time. Have you noticed that? They seem to be in the business of making sure that everyone else knows that they're right and you're probably wrong unless you agree with me. Okay? Now, oh no, it's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. But, you know, that's where we embrace the religious spirit, and that's a very dangerous kind of thing for the church to submit to, because it's a demon god is what it really is. But I only bring this up just to encourage you to ask the Lord to reveal if there are places where we've gotten off track in our Christianity, in our relationship with him. If we have lost our love for Jesus, or our focus of seeking him above all else, you know, all these other things that we tend to worry about will actually be in appropriate alignment and will be solved as they need to be solved if we actually place Jesus first place. If he is preeminent in our lives, what will happen then is everything else will find its right place. But this whole idea of us seeking these various things, when in fact we are called to seek Jesus, to seek Father, to seek Holy Spirit, and in that he will straighten out our theology. And what will happen is you'll notice that you'll actually love people that you don't agree with. It takes a long time sometimes. Depends upon how hard-hearted and headed you are, okay? Yeah. Yeah. But those are the kinds of things. But it's amazing what will happen in our lives when we put Jesus first. He'll straighten those things out. And sometimes within the church, and we've just touched on this, is that we have a tendency to be looking for a God that we can control, a God that we can be God over, or at least a God that has no expectations of us, or that will give us what we want. In other words, you can be a believer, and you can be deceived in believing that you are God. Okay? It's a scary thing. Now, God has covenanted with us in the blood of Jesus to bring us into a saving relationship, but it does not prevent us from exercising a free will or walking away or getting distracted in other kinds of things. That's where the Spirit of God, the relationship with God, the presence of the church around you helps bring the protection necessary to keep you in alignment with Jesus. So everything should be encouraging you to seek him and his presence, and we will see the fruit of it as a result of that. Okay? So, my hope this morning is that you are convinced that no matter where you're at, there's more. God has more for you and I. And that we must continue to remind ourselves, because we are easily distracted by the things of this world and even the things within the church, of the real focus that we need to have. I commend all of you who are believers for being good veterans in the battle against the work of the enemy. But our work is not done. There's still more. God needs yet to continue to purify us. We need to agree with him, let him do his work. And we need a relationship with God that allows us to hear his voice so that we can be obedient to him and see the fruit of his kingdom flow through us. And so, as we've kind of, this is kind of the conclusion of a three-part series on spiritual warfare, the solution to all of this is seeking God, seeking Jesus, seeking the Spirit of God above everything else. My desire is that for you and for me, that we let nothing stand in the way of that pursuit. In that, what will happen is we will see the beautiful fruit that God fully intended, and you will then fulfill the destiny that God has declared over your life, and then also leave a legacy for the future generations. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord God Almighty, the all-powerful one. We recognize that in and of ourselves, we are basically powerless. And yet, you have chosen to save us, to bring us into your kingdom, and to empower us to see your kingdom advanced in our own lives and the lives of other people. Lord, what a privilege it is to be called the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so, Lord, we look forward to the future. Lord, we ask that that we would be able to hear your voice in those places where we need to change, where we need to refocus, where we need to let go of something. Lord, we ask that our hearts would be obedient to you, that we might allow you to do what only you can do in and through our lives. Lord, we look forward to the future, even in the difficulties of this world and as the enemy rages. Lord, we know that you are the all-powerful Lord God Almighty, and so we trust you. And we know that your plans and purposes will be revealed in our own lives and the lives of others. And so, Lord, we press into you. Lord, we hang on to you. We now choose to grow in our faith and expectation of you revealing your glorious presence in and through our lives. And so, Lord, we rest in the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus to bring us into the kingdom. We rest in the sufficiency of your all-powerful Spirit to flow in and through us to transform us into your likeness and image, that we might become everything that you've declared over us. And so, Lord, today we celebrate the fact that in your presence, knowing you is what you have created us for, to enjoy you as you enjoy us, that we might express your true divine nature in this world. And we pray these things in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. It'll take a few minutes to get set up for fellowship dinner. All of you are invited to stay and be a part of that if you would like. Also, the November birthdays, we have a few of them. I think, Carolyn, are you a November birthday? Yes, those who have birthdays in November get to go through the line first. And then I even baked a cake for you. It's a Black Forest one. We'll light a couple candles and we'll sing happy birthday to you, okay? All right, so...